world now. All right. Well, it's really exciting to be here. And man, I was just waiting to see Gene Price and he comes walking out. That's exciting. It is really great to be back and to be able to spend time with the saints. It was a blessing last year. There's so many that I met for the first time last year, and it's a blessing to be back and spend time. All right, pray that tonight as we work through some more scripture that you might take a look at a old topic in a new way. Remember, I've been charged by the evangelist here to preach a theme on renewing your spiritual vitality. As we talked about this morning, you know, really the motivation that's going to get the job done is love. Love's going to get the job done. I remember a long time ago, Jay came out to Pleasant Hill and was one of the preachers at a family camp we had. Do you remember that big panel we had of all the men on the stage? And the question was, what evangelistic technique has served you the best? And I remember what you said. That was before I started studying on love, because I think it was before 2004 when my dad died. All these preachers, I mean, they had some good techniques, I'm telling you what, to do that. And Jay was at the end. I don't know if that was fortuitous or not, but he's at the end. He says, you know, all those techniques won't matter anything if you don't love them. Is that right? You know, all the good habits we have and all the good intentions you know what? If we're not motivated by love, sooner or later they're going to digress into "I have to." We don't want to live our life that way. And so my prayer tonight is, as we take a look at a relational study of the Bible, that you'll see that it's got to be more than just an hour of Bible study. Did you do your Bible study today? Did you do your Bible reading today? Reading through the Bible. How many have ever committed to reading through the Bible and it gets late in the day and you're, oh man, I got to get that done, and you get in there and you get it done, and then you ask yourself, well, what did I read? And you don't remember what you read, but you got it done. Well, that's a good habit. But what's the point of the Word? The Word is to be transformational. God gave it to us to transform us. And so, my prayer tonight is, as we look at this, we'll see it from a different perspective. So would you turn with me in the book of Hebrews chapter 4? Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." So why do we do Bible reading? Why do we study the Scriptures? Why do we memorize every day? Is it to learn more about Jesus Christ? Is it to figure out what we're supposed to do as Christians? Or could it be a little bit more than that? And my prayer is that we'll understand that it has to be a little bit more than that. Because the book is living. The Scriptures are transformational. But we have to use it correctly. My prayers will see that tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord God in heaven, I pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that tonight as we look at the Scriptures, I pray that we might hear them, see them, and live them in a different way. I pray, Holy Father, that You'd help me to communicate from Your Word the things that You desire for us to understand regarding the Scriptures and its power. As You communicate to us through Your Word, the transformational power available, Father, to us if we would only understand that and invest ourselves in it. Oh, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever talked to somebody before and you knew they weren't listening to you? Anybody ever have that experience before? You're talking to somebody and they're looking at you and they got kind of these, some of the nonverbal cues, but then you ask them a question and they go, huh? So is anybody listening? Is my first point. Is anybody listening to him? Let's take a look in the Gospel of John in chapter 5. The Gospel of John in chapter 5. In the Gospel of John chapter 5, the question is anybody listening to him? Take a look at verse 24 and 25 with me if you would. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live." Now notice, I could have read it this way. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who reads my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of life into death. Truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall read the word of the Son of God, and those who read shall live." But he doesn't use that wording, does he? What's the wording he uses? Hear. Hear. I remember my dad was scolding me more than one time, but I know I probably answered him this way more than one time. He says, "Are you listening to me?" "I heard every word you said." Is there a difference? What was I saying when I said, "I heard every word you said"? And he asked, "Are you listening to me?" Was I listening to him? The answer is what? No. Did I hear every word he said? Yeah. Did I respond to what he said? No. Remember I said this morning that my parents got real dumb when I became a teenager? And then when I got out on my own and had to make my own way, all of a sudden they got real smart. Now how'd that happen? It wasn't what was going on with them, it was what was going on with me. You know, sometimes we think we got it all dialed in. I got my hour of Bible reading in today. I read my 3 chapters. I read my 4 chapters. I got it. I check it off. But then you walk into your day and the question is did you listen? Did you hear? Are you responding? What does that scripture say there in verse 25? "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live." Is it listening with your ears? Is it listening with your mind? Is it listening with your heart? August 12, 1982, I was working for the Forest Service, and I was working with my atheist partner, Mike Nelson. And we were up in one of the most beautiful places in Oregon, right below South Sister. We were eating lunch. It was about 11 o'clock. Eating lunch at Sister Mir Lake. And the reason they call it Sister Mir is because the mountain was mirrored off of the lake. It was beautiful. God's country, as it were. And I was in the Baptist church, and I was a good little Baptist boy. But I started to read some things out of the book of Hebrews that kind of shook me down to my bootstraps, as I could lose my salvation. So a lot of other stuff started to come into question in regards to the Baptist faith. By the way, if you're of Baptist faith today and you're just coming to visit, I'm sure glad you're here. I appreciate the fact that you love God and want to participate in this. But let's spend some time together over dinner. Because I heard the voice of God that day. I heard the voice of God that day. I was reading my Bible. On that day, I was listening. You know, I've read Acts 2:38 I heard and read every word, but I wasn't listening. 1 Peter 3:21. I heard every word, but I wasn't listening. And on that day, I was having lunch, and I had my little pocket Bible. In fact, I keep it in my car. And here's what it said. God spoke, and I finally listened. He said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now I remember my brother became a Christian and he started praying for me, and I'd heard he was in the Church of Christ, and my pastor told me he's in a cult, so I was praying hard for my brother. "You cult leader, you." Jay grabbed my brother and taught him and immersed him into Christ, and I was all freaked out. "Oh, my brother's in a cult." I started praying for him and whatnot. But then I got started to be shook out when I started to read my Bible. And here it is, August 12th, 1982, as clear as day as I'm talking to you right now. Man, when I read that, I heard it, and it cut me to the quick. It shook me out. All of a sudden, I realized that if I were to die, I would go to the lake of fire forever and eternity. I heard the voice of the Son of God as clear as I could hear you speak to me tonight. It pierced my heart. Was there this booming, loud voice in the heavens? No, but I heard it. And I listened because I shook my sleeping atheist partner out of sleep. "Get up, man, get up. I'm not a Christian. I need to be immersed." And I was trying to live a good life for the most part. And he said, "Well, if you're not a Christian, I don't know anybody is. You're a good guy." And I said, "You better get out. We got to go." So we jumped in our rig, and it was his turn to drive, and that really scared me. Because, man, he was a wild man behind the wheel. And so we put on our safety belts, and we got down to the city of Bend, and I waited till my roommate got home, and I said, "Kevin, I got to be immersed." He said, "Wait, you're not a Christian, nobody is." I said, "Buddy, I'm not." So, Kevin's Christian church, our roommate's a Lutheran, Scotty Blackwell, and my girlfriend, Michelle Caber, she is a Methodist. We were all messed up. But I heard God's Word, and so we went down to the river. And the Kevin had never done this before, and I said, "Well, you know what you do is I had Scotty quote Acts 2:38. Would you quote Acts 2:38, Scotty?" And he read it. I said, "Kevin, you say that, and then you dunk me. Come up out of the water grave," and that's the first time I was alive. Remember, there's all these fancy houses on the other side of the river, and I come up screaming, "He's alive! He's alive!" I was yelling so they could hear me. They thought I was a nutcase, probably, but then, you know, pretty wild. I heard the voice of the Son of God. The sad thing is that next year I didn't listen much. And I went right back to my old way of stinking thinking and rotten living. Then I made a commitment. You know, I'm going to read the Bible every day. And I promise God, I'm going to read the Bible every day. And you don't promise God to do something and not do it. So I developed a great habit. Honestly, a great habit. But you know what? I still wasn't listening. Can you have a good habit and still not get the fullness of it? I wasn't listening. It's so important for us to recognize how important it is for us to listen. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 10. Gospel of John in chapter 10. Verses 1 through 5. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he enters by the door as the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And the stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. There's only one voice, and the voice comes out of this book. Is this book living? Is it active? Is it powerful? You know the thing about Hebrews chapter 4 is that we know chapter 4 verse 12, but what does chapter 4 verse 13 say? What does chapter 4 verse 13 say? What does that say? What does it say? It's talking about the Word of God. What does it say? Jeremy, what does it say? It talks about Him. Everything about us is laid bare before Him with whom we have to do. Now take a look back in the book of Proverbs, would you? Proverbs chapter 4. Take a look at verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Who's speaking there? Who's speaking there? God's speaking there. Who's He speaking to? You? Are you listening? Look at verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it, for from your heart, flow the springs of life. Our heart listens. Our heart has ears as our heart has eyes. Does our heart have eyes? Our heart has eyes. Our spiritual heart has eyes. Our spiritual heart has ears. And we do have a Father who wants to communicate to us. Some of the best times in my life are when I sat in that hospital with my dad, and my dad would talk to me. I love going down to the hospital. I drive 9 hours to Spokane, up above Spokane, and sit in a hospital and listen to my dad. I never got that when I was a kid. I couldn't wait to get up there to talk to my dad. And you know what? My dad had a lot to say that I never heard before and I never listened to before. You know, when I get up every day in the morning, I get up every day in the morning so I can spend time with my dad. Have you ever read through the book of Psalms and listened? Have you ever read through the book of Psalms and listened? It will transform you. Because you'll hear of the love of God for you. You can read through the book of Psalms, and you can memorize the book of Psalms, but you must listen to the book. If you do your hour of Bible reading and you don't listen, it won't transform you. Remember, my dad used to tell me all sorts of things. Are you listening to me, boy? I heard every word you said, Dad. But it wasn't transformational. Why weren't the words of my father and my mother transformational? Because I didn't listen. We need to listen. What's the difference between listening and hearing, by the way? Does anybody know? Is there a difference between listening and hearing? What is hearing? When I told my dad, I heard every word you said. I wasn't lying. I was telling the truth. I heard every noise that came out of his mouth. But I didn't process it through the hopper and understand it. And then I didn't take it to heart and live it. See, so we can read the words. We can read the words and not run it through the hopper and have it touch our hearts to transform our lives. And my prayer is that if you're doing that read the Bible in a year, that you make sure that you take the time to listen as you read. Because if you just read and go, man, I got my goal done for today, but you haven't listened, it doesn't do the work that God intended it to do. God gave us a spiritual heart that we might hear. God gave us a spiritual heart that we might see. Take a look. Is anyone looking at Him? Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose what? Heart. Lose heart. They were talking about victory. And Jesus was victorious in the flesh. Now where are you going to see the victory? Where are you going to see the victory? You're not going to see the victory on the television set. Where are you going to see the victory? Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Where do you see that faith lived out? Where? How many have ever read a good old Louis L'Amour Western? I know, ladies, that doesn't work for you. How many have ever read those? Oh, good! All right, there you go. I've never read any of those Harlequin romances, but, okay. How many of you have ever been reading a book before, black on white, and you end up splitting the gut? Wow, that's just... Wait a minute, it's just black on white. What happened? What happened? You were there. You saw. You lived. Right? You were there. It was 3D. You could smell it. You could hear it. You could see it. You could feel it. You know what this book is designed to be? It's a picture book. It's a picture book. If you don't get the picture, you'll never be transformed. It's a picture book. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. What does it say in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13? What does it say there? When the perfect comes, what? And the imperfect will be done away with. When the New Testament comes, then the gifts will be done away with. For what? For now, Paul talking about in the age that he was, that first century church age before the completion of the Testament. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then, which is right now, we're going to see what? Face to face. Right now we see face to face. Do you see face to face? Man, I'm telling you what, when I was a kid, I loved reading picture books. I mean, I did. In fact, I'll tell you what, I talked about Big Jake this morning. We'll talk about Big Jake again. You know what his favorite picture book was when he was really, 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 really little? It was The Big Red Ripe Strawberry and the Hungry Bear. Is there anybody here who's ever seen that before? Oh man, you're missing a good picture book. I'm telling you what, Jake was glued.
Was the bear coming, Dad?
Oh, it was great. He loves reading picture books. He was in it. Well, we quickly moved from that picture book to a different picture book. You're saying, but man, your Bible doesn't have any pictures in it. Oh, it has a lot of pictures in it. Heroes of the faith. Let's get some heroes of the faith. So when they're little, we read about Daniel in the lion's den. And I read it with all the voices and all the sounds and the angels and the lions and the King Darius. Oh, Daniel. And they're just on the edge of their seat. And I said, you know what we're going to do tomorrow? We're going to dress up. Who wants to be the lion? And of course, for those of you who know my family, Ryan goes, hey, I want to be the lion. For those of you who know Ryan, that's exactly right. Oh. And of course, Andrew wants to be Daniel. That's a kingly cut. And of course, Jake says, oh, I'll be the angel. Okay. All right. I guess I'll be King Darius. Yeah, you get the meager leftovers. And we would work and get all dressed up and we would go through the story and Mom would read it and we would do it. And guess what I was doing? They're little kids. They're getting the picture. We did it for David and Goliath and we did it. We did it for Elijah and the sticks. And, you know, that's great. Getting the picture. That's what we were doing. And then they got a little bit older, and I said, you know what? We need to read the history of the church. Adventures in the Book of Acts. And all the kids go, all right, Dad, adventure in the Book of Acts, you know. And you know what the funny thing is, you ask the boys, did you ever do something in adventure in the Book of Acts? Oh, yeah, it was great. And we would go through it, and I would read it and give the voice, and they could see it. I got my hour of Bible reading done. What'd you read? Acts. Well, what'd you read? Well, I said Acts chapter 1. What was it about? Well, I got Acts chapter 1 read today. Well, that's good. What was it about? See, we need to see. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This book is transformational. This book is living and active. This book gives you the picture of who you are as a Christ one. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The veil of the flesh, the old man has been crucified in the waters of immersion. When you come forth, that veil of flesh is taken away, and you have the Spirit in you. And then it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So what you see in this book, what you see in this book with the eyes of your heart, is Christ. Where? Christ in you. We were just talking about it earlier. How many people walked on water, Eugene?
Two.
Two walked on water. Okay? How was Peter able to walk on water? Well, he looked to Jesus and he followed his example. So he walked on water. That's impossible, man. That's impossible. Not by when you look at Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, what happened? See, when you look in this book, it's a mirror. It's going to transform you. But you got to be looking for the picture. Here's a great picture. It's a picture that's really worked for me. You know, I was trained by my earthly father to be pretty hard and callous. And so, when someone's got a problem, I used to say, well, you just need to buck up. You know, you're just a whiner. Now, the world's got more than enough whiners, and you're one of them. Just buck up and get with the program. I mean, and that's how I used to be. Now, I said, as a Christian, can you imagine the preacher coming and saying, would you just buck up? Especially, now this is terrible, when someone's mama dies and they're all sniveling. People die all the time. You just need to buck up and get over it. Well, that worked out really well. They really were built up. They were really encouraged. And they bucked right up and powered right through, right? And it didn't work. So Jesus is on a mission, right? He comes into the city of Nain. And there's this woman coming out, and her boy is dead. And they're carrying him out. No husband. And she's all busted up, and all the mourners are busted up. What'd Jesus do? What'd He do? You know what? Everybody's dying. Get over it, okay? Just move on. That's all He did. Talks about compassion there. He saw her pain. He felt her pain. And He reached out and changed her life. Well, you know what? That's a good picture for me. I burned that picture in my mind. My dear friend Melissa Parks, her mom died in her sleep suddenly. Her dad's got all sorts of issues. She's got this and that. They thought for sure he's going to die. They got everything lined out, all the life, everything's every perfect. And so the mom is beautiful health. I mean, she is amazingly healthy. She's running everything, making sure that he's got all his medicines and getting the dialysis and all that stuff. And someone calls me, says, "Hey, I haven't been able to get a hold of Mel. What's going on?" All she said was, "I got to get to the house." I went, I thought Leo, her dad had died. So I pick up the phone and I dial over to the house, Melissa's mom and dad's house, and Leo's on the line. And he says, I go, "What was it? Leo? How you doing?" He goes, "Peggy's gone." "Gone where?" I mean, forgive me, but gone where? And he started to cry. Man, I'm telling you what. I ran into the bedroom. I kissed my wife and I said, "Peggy's gone." You know what she asked? "Where?" "Peggy is rock solid. She's going to live till the Lord comes back. Leo's going out." She died in her sleep. I jumped in that car. I drove like a maniac over there, got there. I spent all day. And I'm telling you what. I didn't bring my Bible. You're saying, "Well, you dog, you're a preacher. You're supposed to bring a Bible. This is the best time to preach Acts 2:38 when people are vulnerable." Come on, dude. No, I did. Man, I grabbed Leo, I hugged him, and I was bawling my face off because she's like my mom. And her sister was there, and I was hugging on her, and the family starts coming, and I'm hugging on them all, and I'm crying with them, and spent the whole day there. Their whole family, except for Melissa and her mom and her dad, are all, "No way, we don't know God." Want to know what's awesome? I'm spending time with her brother. Because he says, "You really love." Mm-hmm. You want to know where I got that picture of hugging on people and touching them? My dad touched me a lot. But it wasn't that way. You want to know where I got that picture of hugging on people? Jesus. going into the city of Nain. That's where I got that picture. Now, Bible study coming on. And I never opened the book. I didn't even bring it with me. But they saw Jesus in how I responded. You know what's interesting is Peggy and I would pray for their family. And Peggy, prayer might be answered. You need to keep praying. Okay? So we got to get the picture, don't we? See, my dad in this life taught me a picture. The way you solve a problem is you just knock somebody's head off. The one who's standing wins. That's not a very good picture. That's not a Christ-like picture. So, there's a picture there. How many pictures are there? A whole life is illustrated in the book. Now, I want you to take a look, if you would, with me. A whole life is illustrated. Would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4? Anybody out there living his life? Ephesians in chapter 4. The only way you're going to live his life is to hear his voice and to see his face and step into the picture. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Look at verse 17. This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from what? The life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because the hardness of their what? Heart. Hardness of their heart. They can't hear. Their heart's callous. They can't see. They're blind. Their heart is blind. Their heart's calloused. But continue right on with me if you would. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Well, verse 20 is the key. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. Look at that verse 20. That verse 20 is big. But you did not learn Christ in this way. Can someone tell me the difference between learning about karate and learning karate? Is there a difference? What's the difference? Learning about karate and learning karate. Somebody tell me the difference. There's a big difference, isn't there? You just get a book and read it. I learned all about karate. I know all about karate. But did you learn karate? How do you learn karate? You do it. You hear it. You see it. You do it. That's how this thing's going to transform you, as you hear the Son of God speaking. You see the Son of God living. And you step in it, because who are you? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer Bill who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the one who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So, I hear him, I see him, and I step into it because that's who I am. And guess what? One of Peggy's sons may very well be immersed into Christ. Why? Because I didn't take my Bible and start thumping. I lived the picture, first person, and somebody saw it, and somebody wants to know. See, we have to learn Christ. We just can't learn about Christ. We have to learn Him. We have to hear Him, it says in this passage of Scripture. Look at Colossians 2:8. What does Colossians 2:8 say? See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, such as, a little bit later on in this chapter, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. You have to do this and you can't do that. I read my Bible today to get my list. That doesn't work. What does it say? See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to what? The teachings about Christ. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? It does not say that, does it? It says, rather than according to Christ. We need to learn Christ. And the only way that we're going to learn Christ is to hear Him and to see Him and then to step into that picture and make it first person. How about Colossians 3? If then you have been raised up with Christ, and you, by faith, were raised up with Christ in the waters of immersion and seated with Him in the heavenly places. Amen? You said it this morning. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. That get your spiritual eyeballs looking at things above, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. Look at this, verse 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. How many of you have the old New American Standard? Okay. How many have the old King James? Come on, don't you raise your hand. You don't have the old King James?
Yeah, the new.
Oh, the new. Okay, well, that's different. Okay, there you go. Well, I'm working on it. Anyway, here we go. Let's look at Colossians 3, but now look at something a little bit different. Look at verse 9, verse 10, and following. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, the new man, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. An image in which there is no Greek and Jew, an image in which there is no circumcised or uncircumcised, an image in which there is no barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free man, but that image is Christ in you. Notice, that's how it needs to be read. The image is Christ. And where's that image? In you. If you got a good habit of reading the Bible, that's good, but are you listening? You got a good habit of reading the Bible, but are you looking for the picture? That picture is you. Are you stepping into that picture? I shared before, I think last year, that I was a very angry man. Because that's how my dad taught me to be. The last thing I would do is to go hug on somebody and cry with them. But that's the picture in the Scripture. And Jesus then had the opportunity to preach. See, we need to get the picture. That picture works for me. That picture I really needed. There's other pictures that I'm working on as well. But those are reflections of who I am in Christ. My prayer is that this truly is living and active. And that, unlike when I was a kid, I heard every word you said, God. I read every word. Once a year, I read every word. But did you listen? Did you see? Did you live? My prayer is that we would listen, and we would see, and we would live. Let's pray. Our Holy Father in heaven, I pray, Holy Father, that You would help us to realize the relationship that You have established with us through the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. In the waters of immersion, we were born again. We were raised up to walk in newness of life. We are raised up as co-heirs with Your Son, Jesus Christ. We are sons by adoption. We cry out to You, Abba, Father. Lord God, help us to understand that our earthly fathers, for better or for worse, did not communicate the picture that is found in the Scriptures of a father. We pray, Lord God, that we would see those pictures clearly and be responsive to You. So the heart's desire is to be pleasing to You in every respect. We would listen to what you have to say. We would look very carefully on how you show us how to do it. And then we would walk therein. Father, I pray that you'd help us in these things. That our Christian faith would not be habitual or legal, but rather relational and devotional. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm supposed to pray for the food, right, Bob? All right, well, let's pray for the food then. All right. Father, we thank you for the hands that have prepared the food, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to sit together around the table, the supper table, and talk. We pray, Father, that you'd bless the time together. Lord God, we ask these good things. Praise you for these good things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there we go.
Hey, guys, not sure if the food's all ready yet, so feel free to fellowship. Lila, remember we have guests. And please watch the kids. Instead of hot and sloppy.
Hot and sloppy.